Turning your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26. We are continuing our study in the evening on the godly pursuit of biblical reformation. And tonight we're going to look at the urgent need for revival and reformation in the church. This follows closely what we've been talking about over the last several weeks with regard to the work of the Holy Spirit in revival and the importance of praying for revival and reformation in the church. So we could just as well title this sermon, The Urgent Need for Praying for Revival and Reformation in the Church. And it's not difficult to see throughout, the churches in our own community, how desperate, how urgent there is a need for revival and reformation. Because of the evil influences of secularism and feminism and idolatry and moral depravity that is widespread in the nation and even growing, tragically, evangelical and reformed churches are on the downgrade. There's a great spiritual downgrade in churches and denominations, widespread false doctrine, idolatry, immorality, apostasy on account of pastors and Christian leaders accommodating to the world around them. And because they don't rebuke the manifold evils of our culture, the political ideologies, the cults and false religions, very sadly, Christians are becoming more ensnared by sin and false religion, and families are becoming increasingly divided and destroyed. One of the greatest evils of the church today is the fact that so many professing Christians show no awareness, no spiritual awareness or discernment that this apostasy and spiritual declension is growing and is widespread. And so they show little or no interest at all in revival and reformation. In fact, they often oppose it and revile those who preach for reformation. They're actually like the dumb frog being slowly cooked in the pot. And that is tragic. Sadly enough, there are scarcely only a handful of Reformed pastors in the nation who would all show today in their preaching and teaching a godly and discerning sense of the terrible state of the church and the urgent need for revival and reformation. There is an urgent need. Now, we saw before that apart from revival and the work of the Holy Spirit, the church languishes in sin and idolatry, a general state of apathy and spiritual backsliding. Christians remain complacent in their lives, complacent as to the importance of public worship, faulty in often in error in their doctrinal views and therefore patterns of sin, false religion, and many stumblings are prevailing. Sadly, they content themselves with spurious views of the gospel that are destructive to their lives, that hinder any possibility of growth and sanctification, and also the building of a godly Christian family. Whether it's because of neo-orthodoxy, Pentecostalism, dispensationalism, the fake Calvinism that is widespread in churches, or the cheap grace Presbyterianism, these are all hindrances to revival and reformation. And it is not until God sends a true work of revival to the church that we will actually see reformation. And that's why there is such an urgent need for both revival and also reformation. But reformation doesn't happen in the church or in the lives of God's people unless there is revival, unless the Holy Spirit works to bring, as we saw before, a conviction of sin, true repentance, a humility before God, a greater knowledge and obedience to God's word and a devotion to God's worship, a love for Christ and a delight to take up the cross and follow him. And without revival, therefore, there's not going to be any substantial work of reformation. In fact, it is very sad that, over the last 20 years of ministry, 20 to 25 years, it seems like almost all the way around us, the community of ours has accommodated to the spirit of apostasy and disobedience to the word of God. It's actually getting harder and harder for them to actually see growth, sanctification, and spiritual revival. In fact, many of them are hardened in sin and rebellion against God. They believe a different gospel, a false gospel that is destroying their lives and families. And so there is a real urgency for Christians to pray for revival, to pray and to work for revival and reformation, to speak the truth in love, but to pray for knowing the urgent need. Now, this is especially true when you see the seriousness with which God addresses this issue in his word. The dangers of a complacent and a disobedient people who are resistant to rebuke as well as to revival and reformation. In Leviticus chapter 26, Moses puts before us the promise of God's blessing upon those who are faithful to Christ and his word, as well as the threat of judgment upon those who are disobedient, who fall prey to idolatry and false religion, and who resist rebuke and reformation. In Leviticus 26, the Lord exhorts the children, the house of Israel, to pursue the work of reformation. And here in this chapter, which we started this whole series off from, we have a general exhortation given to the people to cleanse the house of Israel by reformation. They're to obey God's word and commandments. They're to purge themselves from idolatry and false religion. And they are to keep holy God's commandments and faithfulness to God's covenant. It's an exhortation to reform as well as to revival. But they are to obey the word of God. They are to worship the Lord in accordance to his word and not after the fashion of the Egyptians or the Canaanites. They're to keep God's Sabbath holy and they're to walk in his statutes and commandments cheerfully. And if they don't, they will be punished for their sins. And so there's an exhortation to revival and reformation. Notice closely in Leviticus chapter 26, verses 1 through 24, Moses writes this. You shall not make idols for yourselves, neither a graven image nor a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourselves, nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary, for I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last till the time of vintage, and the vintage shall last till the time of sowing. You shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. You will chase your enemies, and they shall fall by the sword before you. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. For I will look on you favorably and make you fruitful, multiply you, and confirm my covenant with you. You shall eat the old harvest and clear out the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their slaves. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you walk upright. But if you do not obey me and do not observe all of these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you do not keep all my commandments, but break my covenant, I also will do this to you. I will even appoint terror over you, wasting disease and fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemy shall eat it. I will set my face against you, and you shall be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues you. And after all this, if you do not obey me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heavens like iron and your earth like bronze. Your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield its produce, nor shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. Then if you walk contrary to me and are not willing to obey me, I will bring on you seven times more plagues according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children, destroy your livestock, and make you few in number, and your highway shall be desolate. And if by these things you are not reformed by me, but walk contrary to me, then I will also walk contrary to you, and I will punish you yet seven times for your sins. Amen. Now notice closely here how God threatens judgment upon his people for their disobedience, for their complacency, for their compromise with the world of idolatry. And Moses goes on to explain how God's judgments will be visited upon his people if they don't repent, if they don't turn from their sinful ways, if they don't reform their lives according to the word of God. If there's not revival and reformation in the church, God threatens punishments, spiritual punishments, judgments. He inflicts on his church and people for backsliding into sin and idolatry, false religion, for treating his worship and his ordinances with complacency and contempt, disease, affliction, cowardice, confusion of faith, oppression from the enemy, the corrupting influence of false teachers, division and judgments in marriage and family, judgments on children in the form of miscarriage, apostasy and rebellion, and ultimately death and destruction. That is the result of a sinful and disobedient people who oppose revival and reformation, who refuse rebuke and correction. These are all said to be here in Leviticus 26 as evidences of God's wrath on his church and people. In fact, I would say all of these can be readily seen today in the churches. Evangelical and reformed churches, patterns of sin, idolatry, false doctrine, apostasy, sickness and disease, the breakdown of the family, corruption and division in marriages, the apostasy of youth, the spiritual downgrade and confusion of many into false religion, even gross ignorance and cowardice. The cowardice that you see in so many pastors and Christian leaders today is manifest evidence of God's wrath and judgment upon them. They will be chased by their enemy. They will cower like hypocrites, like effeminate. God has given them over to a confused and an evil mind. He's blinded their minds from the truth of the gospel and has given them over to false doctrine, ungodly practices, deviant forms of Christianity, whether it's feminism, liberalism, Roman Catholicism, neo-orthodoxy, Pentecostalism, broad evangelicalism, even dispensationalism and the fake Calvinism that is often promoted in the churches today. Those are all evidences of God's judgment on a disobedient people. A lot of people say that, oh, these are just different emphases and philosophies of ministry. No, they're actually evidences of God's judgment on a disobedient people for not being faithful to the truth of the gospel and not pursuing revival and reformation. And notice, all of these spurious views of the gospel are antinomian. They are exactly what God is warning his people of here in Leviticus 26. That if you do not obey my law and commandments and keep my statutes and reverence my sanctuary, I will give you over to the oppression of your enemy, to idolatry and false religion. Because they refuse to adhere to sound doctrine, to acknowledge and obey God's commandments, right? That turns people away to sin, false religion, idolatry, and it prevents God's blessing on his church and people and on Christian families. It's one of the most powerful chapters in all of Scripture. And so the Lord says, if you do not obey me, I will despise you. I will punish you and bring chastisement upon you. And if by these things you are not reformed by me, but walk contrary to me, then I will walk contrary to you and I will punish you yet seven times for your sins. There are repeated warnings throughout Scripture, other than this passage in Leviticus 26, of the evil and danger of idolatry, false worship, and an unreformed life, and therefore of the urgent need for revival and reformation in the church. Can you see in Leviticus 26 the urgent need for revival and reformation? Yeah, absolutely. Lest God pours out his judgment. There are many similar warnings, of course, throughout Scripture, right? Urgent need for repentance, urgent need for revival, the Holy Spirit to work, pour out his grace and truth to bring reformation, right? The prophets, there are hundreds of passages in all the prophets, in the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as the apostles' letters. Peter, of course, says what? Judgment begins at the house of God. Right. If the ungodly and the sinner are going to be cast into hell. Right. And the righteous are scarcely saved. Well, then how? What happens with those that are lukewarm, complacent, irreverent? In Revelation 2 and 3, in his seven letters to the churches of Asia, Jesus Christ, the Lord, gives a stinging indictment against sin, idolatry, false doctrine, complacency and immorality in the church. And then also a call to repentance. Stinging call. In fact, to the church of the Laodiceans, the seventh and the last, he says this in verses 14 through 21. These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. But you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And so I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may truly see. For as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. There is Jesus' own exhortation to repentance by way of rebuke, a call to revival and reformation. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. It's a free offer to grace, salvation, forgiveness, mercy, and a call to repentance, revival, reformation. And notice here how Jesus calls his church and people to repent, to see God's grace and blessing by reforming their lives, their doctrine according to his word. It is a call to revival and reformation. And I think this passage in Revelation 3 at the end of this Jesus' seven letters to Asia, to the churches of Asia, is especially important. It's especially important because these are not only Jesus' words to the church at Laodicea. It's the last of the seven letters, which, according to the prophetic pattern of the book of Revelation and the letters, speaks of the church at the end of the age, immediately prior to Jesus' second coming. We are living in the age of Laodicea. That's the fact. A lazy, a sinful, and complacent environment where most Christians are irreverent and they're not prepared for the coming of Christ. This is what the church looks like now. And this is what, why the Lord is rebuking the church of Laodicea. It's a pattern for the church today. So there are many reasons why revival and reformation in the church are so urgently needed. Biblical, theological, historical, prophetical, ecclesiastical, personal. We've already seen many of the reasons in all the previous sermons. But we're going to look at more of them this evening from the perspective of God's wrath and judgment, and how urgent revival and reformation is for the church. Jonathan Edwards, you remember, said, "Oh, for a great and general revival of true religion. Let us pray for such a visitation of the Holy Spirit upon the church in the land. It is not only desirable, it is essential. We must either be revived by the Lord himself, or God's people will descend further into apostasy, and all idolatry, false religion, and ungodliness swallows them up. And so we must take ourselves earnestly to pray for revival." You see, the pursuit of revival and reformation is of vital importance for the church, for the Christian life. It's not merely an issue of denominational differences or philosophy of ministry. It is an issue of life and death, God's favor and blessing on his church, or God's wrath and judgment. The Lord says, if you will not be reformed by me, then you will be punished by me. That is the testimony of all of Scripture. It is repeated over and over, not just in Leviticus 26, but in the Old Testament prophets, in Jesus' own preaching and work of reformation, as well as the apostles. There is an urgent need for revival and reformation because there is a deep spiritual darkness that has been slowly engulfing evangelical and reformed churches. Apostasy to broad evangelicalism and neo-orthodoxy that has never been before seen in decades. And so we need to be reminded from Scripture, from the preaching of the Word of God, the urgent need for it. And we need to know from Scripture why there is in God's providence such an urgent need for revival and reformation. There's exhortations all throughout Scripture. When Jesus himself came preaching the gospel, he said, "Repent and believe, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus preached with earnest. His sermons, his calls to repentance, to warn of the scribes and Pharisees, the idolatry and false religion of the day. It was an urgency. It was not a casualness. Jesus' preaching was not casual. And that's why the apostles were so urgent and why they were persecuted. Fact of the matter is, every day thousands of people die without a saving knowledge of Christ and are consigned to everlasting damnation and hell. And so for this reason, we ought to look at seven of the most important reasons, the most obvious reasons why there is an urgent need for revival and reformation in the church today. First of all, because the multitudes of lost souls are going to hell. Let's just be honest with the first point. The need for revival and reformation is urgent because there are not thousands, there are not millions, there are billions of souls in the world right now who are dead in sin, under God's wrath and judgment, and going to hell if there's not revival and reformation, if they're not brought to repentance and a saving knowledge of Christ. Jonathan Edwards rightly said, without revival, people perish in sin under the wrath and judgment of God. This is exactly what God is warning his church and people here in Leviticus 26. They will be swept away in his wrath. They will receive just what the Canaanites did when God swept them away in judgment. In verse 27, the Lord says, and if after all this you do not obey me, but walk contrary to me, then I also will walk contrary to you in fury, and I will punish you yet seven times for your sins. The Lord is saying there, if you disobey me, if you oppose me, I will chastise you. I will bring judgments upon you. And in those judgments, if you still oppose me, if you still refuse revival, reformation, repentance, I will come back to you in fury. I will punish you in wrath. I will cast you out of the land, and you will be a forsaken people thrown into hell. He's talking about Israel. What more about the world? Billions of people in the world at the present time. Atheists, false religions, cults, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, deviant forms of Christianity. There's never been more people in the world than at this time. And sadly, while there is more light of divine truth shining in the world from the Word of God and the faithful preaching of the gospel, the church itself continues on the road to apostasy. And the nations are becoming increasingly secular, pagan, liberal, and anti-Christian. All at the time where what? You have faithful preaching of the gospel. You have it in the internet. You can get all the early church fathers, the reformers, the Puritans for free. And yet apostasy abounds. Pastors and Christian leaders are falling prey to damnable doctrines, evil influences. Well, this spells disaster for billions of people unless there is revival and reformation and God pours out a spirit of truth and grace. Multitudes under the wrath of God. Paul says in Romans 1, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Joel chapter 3, verse 14, the prophet Joel says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near when he will sit to judge the nations. In Psalm 9, verse 17, David says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. The wrath of God is coming. Isaiah 5, verse 14 says, hell has enlarged itself and opens its mouth beyond measure, and all the nations and all their pomp shall flow into it, and the Lord shall be exalted in judgment on that day. Beloved, there's an urgent need for revival and reformation in the church because there are so many that are lost in sin and darkness and without Christ that are going to be condemned to everlasting perdition in hell. They are lost in heathen darkness. They're deceived by sin, atheism, secularism, the vast array of false religions, cults, worldly philosophies, political ideologies of the world, and untold deviant forms of Christianity that pervert the gospel. There is an urgent need for God-sent revival and reformation because there are not hundreds, billions of people that are under the wrath of God. 1 John 5:19, therefore, says the whole world lies under the sway and power of the devil. This is why Jesus himself, the Son of God, the Lord of glory, spoke more often about hell and the wrath of God and divine judgment than any other doctrine. And how the preaching of the gospel is compromised in churches today. In Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14 in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus warned the disciples saying, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and hard is the way that leads to life. And there are few who find it. Jesus himself said there are few that find the way to eternal life. And there are a lot of people on the broad road to destruction. In Matthew 11, Jesus therefore looked out over the multitudes in Jerusalem and he wept because they were as lost sheep without a shepherd. There's a desperate, urgent need for revival and reformation today because of God's wrath and judgment. Right? The judgment of God is coming upon them unless they repent. Unless there is a pouring out of the Spirit of grace upon them. Habakkuk the prophet says, In wrath, O Lord, remember mercy. So revive your work, O Lord. Send revival. Send out your word. Pour out your spirit of grace. Bring the lost to a saving knowledge of Christ. Bring revival and reformation to the church. Draw people to the preaching of the word of God and not to the vanities of this world. Because without revival, there's no grace and salvation. Without grace and salvation, there's only the fearful looking forward to divine judgment in which hell will devour the adversaries. During the Great Awakening, George Whitefield said, unless God sends a spirit of grace and revival, you can be assured that hell would be populated with great multitudes of your own countrymen, your own neighbors, even your own family and friends. On the great day of judgment, God will cast the wicked into hell. The great spectacle, the end of the ages. How many people do we know that are unsaved, ignorant of Christ, the gospel, preparing themselves for an eternal state of condemnation and wrath and hell? How many professing Christians today are living, as it were, in a state of unbelief and ungodliness and contempt of the truth of the gospel? God have mercy upon them. There's an urgent need for revival because there are many lost, many unconverted, and many Christians, professing Christians, you don't even know. Right? You don't even know. And how striking it is. Just this past month, there are numerous striking evidences of God's wrath and judgment. You know, there were 85, more than 85, about 100 people killed in an explosion from a gas line as they were stealing fuel in Mexico. There was a busload of people who were swept away by a flood. Hundreds dying from AIDS. There were 20, I heard, who have killed in a mountain avalanche. Over 300 in one instance had died from drug overdose in this one city. There were also many others, you can read it, dying from car accidents, boating accidents, cancer, heart disease, kidney failure, 1,000 other catastrophes or diseases. And of course, some of them were believers, but the vast majority, not. Most of them died under the wrath and judgment of God. All while they were doing what? Fixing up their Christmas trees and preparing for the NFL playoffs. Not preparing for judgment. They died under the wrath of God. Foolish. Death comes to everyone, and so everyone who is dead in sin must prepare themselves for death by repenting of their sin and idolatry, turning to faith in Jesus Christ. But without revival, without reformation in the church, few will be saved. Most will be condemned to everlasting damnation in hell. It's very sad. For in order for the lost to be saved, to come to a saving knowledge of Christ, they must hear the faithful preaching of the gospel. They must be convicted of their sin. They must turn from their evil ways. They must be born again by the grace and mercy of God through the Holy Spirit. They need revival. The church needs revival. This hymn says, pity the nations, O our God, constrain the earth to come. Send thy victorious word abroad and bring the strangers home. There is an urgent need for revival and reformation in the church today because there are multitudes that are on the path to hell under God's wrath and judgment. But notice, secondly, the growing paganism in our culture and society. This follows after this. There is an urgent need for revival and reformation today because of the widespread apostasy of our nation and culture. We live in a wicked and an adulterous generation. Notwithstanding the influences of the church, the gospel, conservative politics in some areas, and a general degree of law and order, prosperity, right? The influences of material prosperity with the Trump administration. Our culture is going the way of the devil. It's in spiritual decline. And this is in large measure due to the apostasy of the church and the compromise of pastors and Christian leaders. Instead of promoting revival and reformation, they promote a culture of accommodation. And this is exactly what the Lord warns his people in Leviticus 26. Not to go whoring after the false gods of the heathen. The wickedness of the nation of the churches is a mirror of apostasy of pastors, Christian leaders in the church. This isn't any different also from the Old Testament or even from the time of Christ and the apostles. God's covenant people, the children of Israel, of course, when Jesus came into the world, were in a state of apostasy. Jerusalem was filled with religious people, scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, zealots, all different kinds of religious sects within Judaism. They were pretty much all ungodly and perverse in their doctrine and practice. They had a distorted view of the gospel, the coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Right? Think of how distorted they were and how much they were opposed to Jesus, his ministry, his preaching, the Son of God, the Lord of glory. And they accommodated their doctrine and worship to the times. They were influenced by Hellenistic culture, the vast number of pagan cults, mystery religions, philosophical groups throughout the Roman Empire. They were influenced by Stoicism, Epicureanism, Gnosticism, and all the ungodly forms of Judaism that made the Word of God of no effect. It's, in fact, a very religious time period at that time. Everyone was in expectation of the coming of the Messiah, a great world leader. But they were, for the most part, deeply confused about what that meant, because they were deceived by lies, false religions, and deceitful practices. They were under God's judgment as spoken of in Leviticus 26. And that's how it is today. The world is very religious in the church, right? And yet increasingly pagan and ungodly. Jonathan Edwards said, without true revival, the church languishes and the world perishes. That is where we are today in many respects. In Ephesians 4:18, Paul speaks of the corrupting influence of the pagan and secular mindset when he says, they walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. So don't walk after them. Right? Don't act like a pagan. You've not learned Christ. People walk in darkness because they are without God. They reject the gospel of Christ. And sadly, the church sometimes becomes just like the pagan world around. Paul's indictment of pagan culture in Romans 1 is an apt description of our own culture and society, one that is given over to a perverse and reprobate mind, and sadly is becoming more and more like the church. Right? Paul says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became vain in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. And for this reason, notice Paul says, God gave them over to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust for one another. Men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. AIDS. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual morality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they're whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, they not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Does that sound familiar? Yes. That is an apt description of American culture. Not just the Democrats, but also the Republicans. And it is sadly becoming the description of the evangelical church. Accommodation to paganism. There is an urgent and desperate need for revival and reformation in the church, in the nation, because the church is to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. If there's not revival and reformation in the church, there's corruption and apostasy in the nation. Without revival, God's judgment upon our nation is imminent. We can already see certain signs and evidences in God's providence. Fires, floods, natural disasters, terrorist attacks, war, spread of idolatry, abominations that have brought forth such deadly diseases as AIDS, cancer, heart disease, other pestilences. There's the Holocaust of abortion, the anti-Christian agenda of the demonic party, widespread influences of atheism, secularism, feminism, materialism, narcissism, globalism, all the evolutionary paganism that you see widespread in the schools, the universities, both political parties, corruption, apostasy. Sad fact is many people, although they're civil and God restrains their sin, they're God haters, Christ despisers, unrepentant sinners and wicked idolaters. And pastors and Christian leaders are by and large silent on all these pressing theological and moral issues that they say are political. That's stupid and ungodly to say, oh, that's a political issue. We don't have to touch that. No. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13 through 14, the Lord says, when I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or I command the locusts to devour the land or send pestilence among the people, disasters and signs of God's judgment, the Lord says, then if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. There is an urgent need for revival and reformation because of the direction the nation is going. John Witherspoon said, a nation and people in such spiritual decline and rebellion against God must humbly seek him in true repentance for grace and mercy, or it will inevitably be brought to ruin and judgment. That's what we're seeing. And then thirdly, the general apostasy and corruption of the church. There is an urgent need for revival and reformation today because of the sad and miserable state of the church, evangelical and reformed churches alike. Leviticus 26 is especially a warning to the church of the great evil and dangers of accommodation, apostasy, idolatry, and disobedience to God's commandments. The whole chapter is a striking indictment of the church today, which has become corrupted by antinomianism. Right? The Lord says in verse 1, you shall not make idols for yourselves. Well, sadly, there are all kinds of idolatry, graven images, and false worship in the church today because of entertainment and accommodation to the culture of Hollywood. In verse 2, the Lord says, you shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. Well, sadly, the vast majority of professing Christians regularly profane the Lord's Day, and they surely do not reverence God's worship or the preaching of the word, and they do not attend or have an evening service. And most people today are preparing for the Super Bowl next week rather than preparing for God's worship or God's judgment. In verse 3, the Lord says, you are to walk in my statutes and keep my commandments. Well, sadly, most pastors and Christians today are antinomian and do not even believe in the abiding validity of the law of God and the Ten Commandments. You see how relevant Leviticus 26 is to the church today? People today are not looking to reverence God and keep his word, worship him in the beauty of holiness. No, they're seeking after signs, wonders, and to enter to be entertained by sports and music, and they're looking for the Super Bowl. That's pastors and Christian leaders. How many of them do you think are preparing for next Sunday service? Preaching, teaching, anything? No. It's like Jesus said in Matthew 16:4, it is a wicked and adulterous generation that seeks after signs. A wicked and adulterous generation. There is a swelling tide of apostasy and corruption in the church today. That is why there is an urgent need for revival and reformation, to turn the hearts of God's people, pastors and Christian leaders, away from the things of the world and set their minds on the things of God. The church has not been so corrupted by idolatry and false religion since the Middle Ages. In comparison with the early church and the Reformation, Christians today are generally liberal and moral, corrupted by false religion. They can't even discern truth from error, good from evil. They accommodate themselves to false teachers, as Paul says in Romans 16:18, who speaks smooth words and flattering speech to deceive the hearts of the simple. This is true of a lot of evangelical and reformed churches. They speak smooth words and flattering speech. They never raise their voice in rebuke of the sin and idolatry and the wickedness of the land because they don't want it to affect their pocketbook. They don't want it to affect that people will leave because they're unsaved. They're religious hypocrites. And there are all kinds of gimmicks and programs and so-called evangelistic methods in the church that to promote a fabricated form of revival through entertainment or just stupid and ungodly programs. Entertainment. And yet the church is becoming more and more, what? Corrupt and worldly. And even Christians are asleep, as it were.
They're not awake. They don't have their senses discerning good from evil. They don't even sense how ungodly the general pattern of preaching and teaching is. I know a lot of Christians that they can't even see. And I sometimes wonder, wow, are you saved? Do you even believe the gospel? Do you not see that? Gilbert Tennant, a preacher of the Great Awakening, said that there are so many religious hypocrites and unbelievers in the church today, it is a sad and lamentable thing that only revival and reformation can remedy. Right? In the 19th century, you got to hear this, when Charles Finney went preaching throughout the East Coast, it was rightly said that which many in the church call revival is really a form of apostasy. Right? Think of that. Anybody knows church history? The so-called revivals of Charles Finney in the 19th century? Beloved, it's not difficult to see now in the 20th century how perverse, ungodly, and liberal the New England states and New York is. That's what Charles Finney accomplished. He didn't produce revival. He furthered the slide of the church to apostasy by a false gospel. And the same is happening now throughout all the nation. And pretty soon, all of America, including the most conservative states, whether Texas or Oklahoma, Alabama or Georgia, are going to be like the New England states, full of religious hypocrites, a false doctrine, a culture of depravity and idolatry that you see now in Rhode Island, in Delaware, in New York. Apostasy. In 1 Corinthians 6:9, Paul says, "Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And yet these are common in churches and even among pastors today. The worst and most despicable sins recorded in the Bible have now, in some cases, become mainstream in evangelical churches. There are tragically vast numbers of church people who are in a state of spiritual deception, deceived by false religion. They profess to know Christ, but as Paul says, by their works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. 1 Peter 4:17 therefore says, "The time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it first begins with us, what will the end of those who do not obey the gospel? For if the righteous are scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear?" Where? Now, there's an urgent need for revival and reformation because the church is in a state of apostasy. John Calvin, in his treatise on the necessity of reforming the church, writes this: "At this time, when divine truth is laid buried under a vast and dense cloud of darkness, when true religion is sullied by so many superstitions, when by horrible blasphemies the worship of God is corrupted and his glory laid prostrate, when by a multitude of perverse opinions the blessing of redemption is frustrated and man intoxicated with a fatal confidence of their own works seeks salvation anywhere other than Christ, when the administration of the sacraments are partly maimed and torn asunder, adulterated by the mixture of numerous fictions and partly profaned by trafficking for gain, when the government of the church is degenerated in mere confusion and devastation, when those who sit in the seat of pastors do vitally injure to the church by the wickedness of their lives, and secondly, exercise a cruel and obnoxious tyranny over souls, leading them to every kind of error and leading men like sheep to the slaughter, it is time to pursue with zeal the work of reformation." Right, there is an urgent and desperate need for revival and reformation to the church today because there's such this spiritual declension. There's such apostasy. You know, it's very clear is how many people with great fervency and love for Christ and devotion attend worship services on the Lord's Day and are devoted to the evening service as well as to the morning service, and that is actually their delight. That's their devotion. Now, we saw weeks before from Deuteronomy 28 the great spiritual blessings that come from revival and reformation: a sanctified knowledge of God, a life of true worship, a deeper love for and communion with God, an assurance of his saving love, a godly life, a greater joy and peace in the Spirit, a loving and godly family, a Christ-centered life, a well-grounded hope, and a model of praise to God's glory. That's what we should be praying for, and that's what revival and reformation brings. And this is why there is such an urgent need for revival and reformation, because without revival and reformation, This doesn't come to the church. This doesn't come to Christians. This doesn't come to Christian families. There's only corruption and apostasy and a sliding away from truth and the stoppage of God's blessings. Listen to Matthew Henry. He says, when God sends revival to those who earnestly seek him, he pours out his blessing. But when he withholds his grace on account of a sinful and disobedient people, God instead sends his curse and judgment upon them. And that's what we see. Now, we should therefore be praying that God would be merciful, patient and long-suffering with his church and people today, with Christians that we know who are lazy, who are idle, who don't take seriously the worship of God, who are not devoted to Christ. And they don't see that God's going to punish them. God's going to punish their marriage. God's going to punish their kids, their families. There's going to be apostasy. And then he's going to give them a confused mind. Yeah, they might be saved, but they're going to struggle terribly. Notice fourthly, the rampant spread of false teachers. There's an urgent need for revival and reformation in the church today also because there's so many false teachers and ignorant men in the ministry who preach a false gospel. You know, even among evangelical pastors and Christian leaders, they're often godly, covetous, men-pleasers, flatterers, Sabbath-breakers, and effeminate. Who, just as Moses writes, says, will be oppressed by the enemy. Who will be cowardly and effeminate. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 30 and 31 says, an astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end? Well, Leviticus 26 says what will happen in the end. God will give them over to confusion, to cowardice. He will punish them because they're false teachers. The blind will lead the blind and they both will fall into the ditch, Jesus says. John Calvin said, when God sends his spirit of truth and grace upon his people, he gives them a discerning heart and mind to avoid false teachers, deceitful workers, and those who would flatter them for dishonest gain. What's the reverse? When God is angry with his church and people, when his people are disobedient, God gives them over to a reprobate mind that they are taught and led by false teachers, deceitful workers, and oppressed by their enemy, and they can't discern. And such is the confusion of their life. They show it. Well, it is very sad. I see often many Christians who I used to know 5 years, 10 years, 15 years ago. It's like, wow, they've gone the way of the world. I don't know them. They're confused. They don't know the gospel. They've been given over to a reprobate mind because of the sin and disobedience. I always think they had a chance. They had a chance. I pleaded with them, counseled with them, preached to them. They had their chance. Now their lives, their families are ruined. This is why the church needs revival and reformation today. The gross ignorance, the cowardice of so many pastors and Christian leaders today is evidence of God's wrath and judgment. Leviticus 26 and so many other passages, it's sure reason. God has given so many pastors, religious leaders today over to a confused and distorted mind. He's blinded their minds from the truth of the gospel, given them over to false doctrine, ungodly practices, deviant forms of Christianity because they're in love with the world or they're in love with money. They don't take their calling from Christ seriously. And so you can see feminism, liberalism, Roman Catholicism, neo-orthodoxy, the corrupting influences of Pentecostalism, broad evangelicalism, dispensationalism, as well as the fake Calvinism that is very common. It accommodates to the world. It accommodates to the entertainment, the pleasures of sin, idolatry. And you know what's so evil, it's frustrating, is when you have Reformed pastors say they believe in the doctrines of grace, they believe in the sovereignty of God, they believe in the Lordship of Christ, and they're completely antinomian. That is so frustrating. That's exactly what Leviticus 26 condemns. Leviticus 26 condemns the hypocrisy and the new orthodoxy of the fake Calvinism, the John Pipers and all of those who say that they believe in the doctrines of grace and live in rebellion to the Word of God. It's shocking. Don't they read the Bible? Don't they read the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus preaching? I've not come to destroy the law of the prophets. I've come to fulfill. There's such a proliferation of false teachers in the church today that the gospel is corrupted. And there is such a proliferation of deviant forms of Christianity that I mean this. It requires now a sophisticated and encyclopedic mind to catalog, to refute in polemics. Liberalism, Roman Catholicism, Neo-Orthodoxy, Pentecostalism, broad evangelicalism, dispensationalism, fake Calvinism, and yes, I would include the cheap grace Presbyterianism that is widespread in PCA and OPC churches, all of which are common in this. They do not like revival and reformation. They oppose it. Seminaries oppose revival and reformation. They oppose it because of their influence of wanting power, money, prestige. And when God says revival and reformation, guess what? The seminary professors are unneeded. Do you think the Reformation and the Puritans were academics that sat around and wrote books? They were preachers. That is the serious danger in Reformed churches and denominations, because there is a great spiritual darkness going through because the influence is bookish. They're writers, not preachers. That doesn't promote revival and reformation. Books, they're useful for study. The Reformation, the Great Awakening, the Puritan movement, they were preachers. They're not academics. The study and discipline, therefore, of polemics is becoming one of the most important needs of the ministry, and one of the most forgotten and neglected. To refute heresy and false doctrine in the church. Why? Because the church has a lack of discernment. Even Reformed pastors have a great lack of discernment. Well, the Apostle Jude, therefore, says, I exhort you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept into the church, marked out for this condemnation, who turn the grace of God into lasciviousness and deny the only Lord God and the Lordship of Christ. Solemn warnings you can see in 2 Peter as well, all throughout the New Testament. John Knox said, when false teachers abound in the church, it is a sign of God's wrath and judgment upon the church. It's widespread. And you know what? Even evangelical and reformed pastors who seem to be Christian, who seem to believe the truth and conservative doctrine, they're falling prey to this pattern of sin and academia that is ungodly and perverse. It's just tragic. They don't see how ungodly it is. Listen to 2 Timothy 4. Paul warned that in the latter days, the time would come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears from the truth. See, they won't mind reading books. They will turn their ears away from the faithful preaching of the gospel, rebuke of sin, idolatry, from polemics. And they will say, oh, that's just too harsh in our pluralistic society. You can't rebuke all of these evil influences and deviant forms of Christianity. You have to compromise. You have to compromise with Roman Catholic idolatry. You have to compromise with neo-orthodoxy, C.S. Lewis and N.T. Wright. You have to compromise with John Piper and his antinomianism. That's exactly what the movement of the churches and Reformed denominations are. Compromise and accommodation. And while we are to speak the truth in love, we are to speak the truth. Otherwise, what? Wrath and judgment. Do we believe Leviticus 26? Do we believe the Sermon on the Mount? Above the word of men today? Absolutely. I don't care who spouts their views of accommodation and compromise. It is evil. If it is not built on the truth of the gospel, it is evil. Compromise with sin is conspiracy against God. Unity without verity is no better than a conspiracy. That's the whole Puritan motto. Unity without verity is no better than a conspiracy. Better to be faithful to the truth. And so there's an urgent need for revival and reformation today, because there is such a corrupting influence in false teachers, cults, false religions, deviant forms of Christianity, but also, which is a terribly, it's the terrible accommodation of evangelical reformed pastors and churches to religious hypocrisy, to false doctrine, to neo-orthodoxy. And therefore, the large body of reformed pastors, not all of them, a large number, have become overwhelmed because of the ignorant seminary education. It's become effeminate, cowardly, men-pleasers, accommodated to the culture of idolatry and false religion in the world. And the preaching is nurture. We need revival and reformation because of the rampant spread of false teachers and the spiritual declension within evangelical and reformed denominations. Jesus warned, the blind will lead the blind, they'll both fall into the ditch. And Leviticus 26 is a very solemn warning, not just from the church, but about pastors. If the Lord says, if you will not be reformed by me, and you walk contrary to me, against my statutes, against my laws and my commandments, if you turn your backs and you do not reverence my sanctuary and attend my worship, I will plague you. I will bring judgment upon you. What a solemn warning for all the hypocrite pastors who do not sanctify the Lord's day and have no regard for an evening service. Plagues of wrath and judgment will come upon them. It's only God's mercy that he doesn't. Do they fear God? I think not. Fifthly, the increasing breakdown and destruction of the family. There's an urgent need for revival and reformation today because of the breakdown of the family. It's very sad to see in our culture and society so many families destroyed by sin, false religion, idolatry, paganism, and accommodation to the culture of today. How many rebellious, disobedient children have gone astray from the truth because of this? How many marriages are destroyed? Adultery, divorce. The divorce rate in America is almost at 50%, and it isn't much different among those who profess to be Christian, evangelical, reformed Christians. Christian families are corrupted today by all kinds of evils that plague our culture. Feminism, entertainment, a culture of depravity, and sadly, evangelical reformed churches accommodate to this spirit of sin, of worldliness, of rebellion and division. And even we sometimes struggle, right? In Acts 2, Peter, in his preaching, addresses, after exhorting them, be saved from this perverse generation. And then he says that the promise, verse 39, the promise is to you and to your children, to as many as the Lord our God shall call. What are you talking about? Revival, reformation is a blessing that God brings upon families. Revival, the work of the Holy Spirit, sent in revival, works to heal and redeem families, to reconcile marriages, to influence the raising of godly children who love and obey Christ. The promise is to what? To you and your children. Same promises that God spoke of in Leviticus 26. And the same punishments, chastisements that are spoken of in Leviticus 26 are brought about upon families because of what? Disobedience, resistance to rebuke, revival, reformation. That's why there's such an important need for revival and reformation. We are seeing today the increasing breakdown of the family because of false religion, feminism, paganism, right? Public schools, the influence of educational models in Christian schools and homeschooling that is completely contrary to the Word of God. Classical education. I want reformed in Christian education. We don't have to quote all the statistics, but it should be clear and obvious that the culture is becoming more evil. Marriages and families are being destroyed by sin, ungodliness, false religion, a culture of entertainment, and a variety of evil influences. And God says, if you are not reformed by me, but you walk contrary to me. Let me just put it very clear. When God says that, he says, if you walk contrary to me and you continue pursuing your idols, your entertainment, your Super Bowls, your World Cups, your World Series and all of these things, if you're more interested in the things of the world and your entertainment, I will walk contrary to you and I will punish you yet seven times for your sins. That's what God says. There's an urgent need for revival and reformation so that there will be a real transformation in Christian families where Christ is glorified. A.W. Pink said, where there is a spirit of revival and reformation, there will be a devotion to family worship and discipline. For where God is truly known and loved in the home, he is necessarily worshipped and adored. Well, that's a good start. Revival and reformation in the family can be seen in family worship, for one, as well as faithful attendance at church and the preaching of the gospel. In Titus chapter 1, Paul warns of the danger of false teachers who, by their craftiness, subvert whole households. False doctrine subverts the family and households. It subverts the raising of kids. Well, let me tell you, a lot of Christian education today does that. There is, in the vast majority of evangelical Christians today, a serious lack of godly discipline and faithful instruction in the family. A lack of godly headship, a lack of family worship, a lack of Bible reading, catechism, discipleship, training. It's replaced today by programs, a culture of entertainment, and a wholesale rejection of Reformation doctrine in Christian education. Yeah, I mean, Christian schools, they spend 30 minutes on Bible and 3 hours on pagan entertainment, plays, programs, and stupid and foolish scenes that lead people to sin and idolatry. That's not revival and reformation. That's Renaissance paganism. That's what it is. It's Renaissance paganism. There is an urgent need for revival in the church and reformation because idolatry, sin, and the resistance to revival and reformation, it leads to the breakdown of the family. I don't know why pastors and Christian leaders and educators can't see this obvious truth in our community here over the past 20 to 25 years. God has given them over to a reprobate mind. They can't see. They can't see the manifest evils and idolatries that the kids go off to college and are apostate and ungodly. They can't see that, oh, their lack of godly reformation in education is an influence upon that. It's shocking. In Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6, the Lord says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." Beloved, revival brings repentance and reformation in the family, as well as submission, love, discipline, reverence for Christ, godliness and happiness in the family. It not only brings people back to Christ in the Word, but to the truth of God, to a life of worship. Revival turns the hearts of fathers and mothers to their children, and it turns all of their hearts to home, to the Word of God and the public worship of God, where Christians again reverence God and His sanctuary. Asahel Nettleton said, "Revival that comes from God opens the window of His special blessing and favor upon the family." The family. See, you see today in our culture, you can see the breakdown of the family. What's that caused from? That's caused from apostasy. That's caused from false teachers. That's caused from accommodation to the culture. That's caused from liberalism, Roman Catholicism. That's caused from neo-orthodoxy. That's caused from evangelical reformed churches accommodating to false doctrine today. Right? That's why Leviticus 26 is so important. How about sixthly, the secularization of our society and institutions? There is an urgent need for revival and reformation in the church today because there's widespread growth in the nation toward atheism, liberalism, New Age Gnostic paganism, all of which is hostile to the gospel and the Christian worldview. The influence of secularism in our society and our nation shows an urgent need for revival and reformation in the church. Because the church is, what, the salt of the earth, the light of the world. If there's no revival in the church, if there's no reformation of the church, then society and its institutions will become more perverse, more ungodly, more anti-Christian. And that's what you see today. With feminism institutionalized in our government, homosexuality, There are so many ungodly and wicked people in our government and culture today. They're on the verge of dismantling Christian history, Christian civilization, and all aspects and vestiges of the gospel upon our nation. They want to banish God from the state, from schools, from public discourse, from science, from law, from morality, from every area of life. They are hardened and wicked atheists and liberals who hate God and want to promote an immoral society based on evolutionary paganism and a secular humanistic idea. And this is a grave danger to freedom and liberty, as well as to the church, the protection and safety of our nation. And you have to see that the divisions right now between Republican and Democrat are life changing. The Democrats are demonic. And it is only the gospel of Christ, though, can bring people out of their bondage of sin and idolatry. And for this reason, there is an urgent need for revival. Even among Republicans, too, though. Among everybody. But let me tell you, the divisions that are coming are just, they're leading to civil war. There's an urgent need for God to send a spirit of repentance and to bring those who are lost in sin and under the bondage of the devil and false religion and deceitful political ideologies to repent and be saved. They need to come to repentance. There's an urgent need for revival and reformation, that these people see the wickedness of their lives, the idolatry of their political ideology, the bankruptcy, or else the nation will get worse and the divisions between Republicans and Democrats will become violent and lead to civil war. It is only a matter of time. But there are many people, even now, seriously thinking about and even planning for civil war because of the opposition that is made against President Trump. And President Trump, let me tell you, is no Puritan. You know, praise God that there are many good things that President Trump and his administration have done over the last couple of years to stem the tide of apostasy, the road to paganism, because of these demoncrats. The culture, though, is so perverse and wicked, and liberals are becoming more demonic, that it seems inevitable that God will pour out his wrath in greater calamities than we've ever seen before in our nation. Fires, plagues, floods, even war. Unless there is revival and reformation. God has given a large part of the nation and its leaders over to a reprobate mind that is demonic. And sadly, the church, in some cases, is following close behind. Pastors and Christians alike are accommodating to this culture of wickedness and idolatry that is widespread. And sadly, even Reformed pastors are largely silent. How often do you ever see Reformed pastors rebuking these outrageous forms of wickedness and demonism that is opposed to some very moderate reforms from President Trump? Are you kidding? These are moderate reforms. Doesn't that show you that the church is corrupt and wicked? When you have many evangelical and many reformed pastors that are silent, won't say anything, that actually accommodate to Democrats in their churches, that are pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, pro-sodomy, all the evil and the wickedness of the Democratic Party, and they just, oh, have fellowship with us. We agree with both Republicans and Democrats. Come in. Are you kidding me? How perverse and wicked. In Psalm 14, David says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They are abominable. They have turned aside and become evil. Corruption and moral depravity comes from an atheist mindset. Spiritual ignorance and life without God. Secular atheism and what is promoted today in the demonic party of the left breeds a culture of rebellion, oppression, sin and depravity. And guess what? Leviticus 26 says, if you do not repent, if you will not be reformed by me, you walk contrary to me, I will punish you 7 times for your sins and I will give you into the hand of the enemy. Those who oppress you, you will be cowardly. Instead of being able to stand up to rebuke them, you will cower before them. Instead of 5 or 10 of you putting to flight 1,000, 5 or 10 of them will put to flight 1,000 of you. Do you see what we see in the churches today? Thousands of evangelical and reformed pastors can't even stand up to a few demonic liberal leaders and their heresies, their diabolical evils. Corruption and moral depravity makes men cowards. And so we have the influence of this secular humanism, this communistic idolatry, abortion on demand, where millions of children are slaughtered every year in America. And pastors are just culturally accommodating to the wickedness of this generation that God will destroy in hell. Millions and billions deserve the wrath and judgment of God. Everlasting damnation in hell. What an evil, wicked generation. What are pastors doing? They're preaching soft sermons. It's tragic. That's why Paul said and warned to Titus of those who profess to know God, but by their works deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work, reprobate. God has given them over to a reprobate mind. Jude writes of the danger of apostasy, the evils of many, the need to be warned of the damnation that comes on the wicked who have turned away from the truth and have turned to false doctrine. The secularization of our culture is bringing destruction and misery to the church, bringing death to the culture, apostasy to the churches, and turning pastors into total cowards. There is an urgent need for revival today because of the growing secularization and downgrade of our culture and its very evil and ungodly influence on the church. Let me say, men are turning into women, cream puffs, spiritual faggots. And I mean that in every sense of the word. And then seventhly, the certainty and imminence of divine judgment. There is an urgent need for revival and reformation today because the day of God's wrath and judgment is near. The end of all things is at hand. The time is coming when there will be no more time, no more opportunities of grace, no more chances to repent, no more occasions to hear the gospel, to attend public worship, to reverence God's sanctuary. It will only be death, judgment, and everlasting condemnation in hell. We should remember that every day many are brought to God's judgment by death. We can't do anything about that. As much as we pray, it is only God sending revival and reformation to the church, pouring out His Spirit, causing people to seek the grace of God in prayer, in worship, attend church, and turn from their evil ways. But we should remember the certainty and imminence of divine judgment. James 5:8 says, "The coming of the Lord draws near. Behold, the judge is even now standing at the door." You see, no one knows the time of the end. No one knows the day of the Lord's coming, the day of their death or reckoning. Jeremiah Burroughs, though, said, "The fact that people are more concerned about the portents of the weather and storm than the portents of God's wrath and judgment is itself an ominous portent of people's sin and unbelief." Hey, they're more interested in the signs of the weather than the signs of God's wrath. Right? They're more interested in the latest sporting event, the latest form of entertainment, than the next sermon or the next word of truth that they're going to listen from the gospel. There is an urgent and desperate need for revival and reformation because we don't know how much time we have on earth. We don't know how patient and long-suffering God will be toward His church, His people. We don't know how patient He will be to ourselves. In Acts 13, Paul said, it's actually Acts 17, "God commands all men everywhere to repent because He has appointed on a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained, and He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead." Paul said to the Greeks, the philosophers on Mars Hill, "God commands all men to repent because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness. He has set His Son on His throne in glory and in judgment. There is time for salvation, grace, but their day of judgment is coming soon. Jesus Christ is the Lord. He's the judge. He will come again to judge the world in righteousness." And Leviticus 26 is a very solemn warning. If you will not be reformed by Me, if you continue to walk contrary to Me, I will walk contrary to you. I will punish you yet seven times for your sins, and the day of my fury will come like a thief in the night. John Owen said, faith in Christ as an atonement is the only sure way to escape the coming of God's wrath and judgment. Revival, reformation, pleading God's grace and mercy through Christ. That's the way to grace and salvation. In Number 16, when there was a rebellion of the people against Moses and Aaron, the Lord said, take a censer and put fire in it from the altar, put incense upon it, and take it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for their sins. For the wrath has gone out from the Lord, the plague has begun. Wrath has gone out from the Lord, and the plague has begun. And the Bible says that there were 14,700 who died before the plague was stopped. Beloved, there's a plague of God's wrath going throughout the world and the churches today. The gospel of repentance, of revival and reformation must be taken quickly, applied to the people, to the church, before God's wrath comes upon them. It is clear as day to me to see over 20 years apostasy, spiritual declension, the evidence of God's wrath on His church and people because of disobedience, obstinacy, rebellion, resisting revival and reformation. They resist the word of God, and therefore the wrath of God will come upon them unless they repent. Unless they repent. Right? In Matthew 24, verse 13, Jesus therefore exhorted the disciples, saying, watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming in judgment. And therefore what? Watch. Repent. Right? In Revelation 2:5, the Lord says to the churches, remember from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. In Revelation 3, what He says to the church at Laodicea, repent of your casual, irreverent, lazy, lukewarm attitude to the Word of God and to God's worship. Repent. There's an urgent and desperate need for revival today, for the judgment of God comes quickly. Many don't see that. But it comes. It comes upon them in various forms of disillusion, confusion, spiritual declension. God gives His church and people over to false teachers, to idolatry, to ignorance, to cowardice, to being oppressed by the enemy. And they're fooled because of prosperity. They're fooled because they're laughing it up with the entertainment, with the sports. But God's judgment is upon them. Oh, that God would have mercy, though, upon His church and people. That God would be patient and long-suffering and not bring them to damnation. We need to pray for revival. We need to pray for reformation. We need to see, though, the urgent need for revival and reformation in the church and the nation. I see apostasy over 20 years. I see families divided. I see children apostate and headed for judgment in hell. I see once faithful believers fall into sin and idolatry, false religion and evil, and I hope to God they're not headed for judgment. I hope God shows mercy. But without revival and reformation, the church languishes, the world perishes, and God's wrath and judgment on sin flourishes. Think of that. That's what Jonathan Edwards said in his sermons in the Great Awakening. Without revival and reformation, the church languishes in sin and idolatry. The world perishes in false doctrine, and God's wrath and judgment on sin flourishes. We want to see God's grace, God's truth shine in the church, flourish in the church. And so there's an urgent need for revival and reformation because apostasy and spiritual darkness is widespread. And yet, sadly, one of the greatest evils and tragedies of the church today is the fact that so many pastors and professing Christians show no awareness of this apostasy and spiritual declension. And for that, they show little or no interest whatsoever in revival or reformation. They oppose it often. They even slander and revile faithful pastors and godly Christians who promote it. and they're like the dumb frog being slowly cooked in the pot. There's a growing spread of sin, idolatry, worldliness, stubbornness, rebellion, apostasy, widespread in the churches among Christians. It's tragic. It's like a dark cloud of God's wrath that looms over the church and the world. And so we need to pray for revival and reformation. We need to keep ourselves in the love of God, as Jude says. We need to keep ourselves away from the apostasy and spiritual declension that is overtaking the church. We need to be faithful to the truth, to speak the truth in love, be faithful to Christ, to sound doctrine in these days of spiritual declension, and work and pray for revival and reformation, because there are a multitude of souls that are lost and under the wrath and judgment of God, headed for hell. There is a growing paganism in our culture and society. There is widespread spiritual declension and apostasy in the church. There's the rampant and evil influence of false teachers, the increasing breakdown of marriages and the family, the secularization of the nation and divisions that are leading up possibly to civil war. And there is the certainty and imminence of divine judgment. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And the Lord says in Leviticus 26, if you are not reformed by me and you walk contrary to me, even after all of these exhortations and rebukes and warnings and these plagues, I will still bring plagues of judgment upon you more than ever. That's what's coming on the church if we don't see revival and reformation. If we think that the church and the nation is bad today and has been over the last 10 years, it's going to get worse. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bless you and thank you for the clarity of your word. Thank you for your grace, your mercy to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you for your patience and long suffering, and that we pray that you would, in your wrath, remember mercy. Pour out your spirit of grace and truth. Bring revival and reformation of the churches. Sanctify your people in the love of Christ, the knowledge of sound doctrine. Keep them from evil, from idolatry and false religion. We pray that you would send a spirit of grace and truth, knowing that there are many that are headed to judgment, eternal condemnation in hell. We see the growing paganism of our society, apostasy of the church, the evil influence of false teachers, and the tragic breakdown of the family. So many evils in our nation that are growing now, even widespread in the churches. And so we pray for your mercy. Pour out your grace, your truth. Unite your church and people in truth and holiness. Bring revival and reformation to the churches. Give pastors and Christian leaders greater courage, greater boldness, and knowledge of the truth, devotion to Jesus Christ, a reverence for your worship, your sanctuary, that the Lord's day might be sanctified in truth and holiness, all to the praise and the glory of your name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.